And please turn to Matthew chapter 21. We are excited to be here today with you, and we have some guests coming in a couple of weeks. This Friday night, we're going to look at Psalm 22, which is the psalm on which Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then next Sunday, we're going to look at Jesus' statement about being the resurrection and the life, which he originally said to Lazarus, but then, of course, was exemplified in his life as well. And then the Sunday after Easter, we have a group called Piercing Word coming. And Anna Alexander is familiar with that group. And Anna, come on up and tell us why we should come back after Easter.
All right. How many of you have heard of Piercing Word? Awesome. Okay. So Piercing Word is a group of talented actors and actresses performing a dramatic performance of Scripture. And get this, the Scripture is their script, literally. Like, they do not stray from Scripture at all in their script. And it's really awesome. I was like, how is this going to work? And oddly enough, it's actually, sometimes it's really entertaining and fun. Like, it's hilarious. Sometimes they make it really funny. I'm guessing this one's going to be pretty serious because it's the Passion of Christ. It's called Passion the Musical. So they form Scripture into songs. It's just, it's so beautiful. It's something I'm really passionate about. I've seen 7 or 8 performances by them, and every time it's just a blessing. And I just want to read to you from Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, where God is speaking. And he says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So they are speaking and singing to us God's word. And it is so powerful and so humbling as well. And so honestly, it is the perfect place to bring a new believer, like to bring an old believer, to bring somebody who's not even a believer, somebody who's seeking God. I've brought several of my unsaved friends to these, and they enjoy them. There's just something so powerful about God's word being spoken and sung. And I really encourage you to be here. It's April 8th, Sunday, April 8th, right after Easter, during our service. And bring somebody along. It's really great. So
you all come back after Easter. And let's pray together. Please turn to that passage if you haven't already done so. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for coming to this planet. Thank you, Lord, for coming for all ages. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for your people throughout history. And Lord, we thank you that you are here with us today. And so, Lord, we ask you by faith to speak now by your Spirit and through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's about this time of year that we've been longing for spring. Anybody still longing for spring? I saw some flowers up until a few days ago. And it started to pop up. I saw some daffodils. I'm not sure what they're doing right now. I saw some buds, I think, on some trees, maybe from a distance as I was walking along here. I think I might see some buds. I don't know. But I started seeing other things. But, you know, I'm still longing for spring. I hear that it's coming. And that's kind of the way that life is sometimes. We're always longing, aren't we, for something next. So when we're in preschool, we're longing for grade school. When we're in grade school, we're longing for middle school. When we're in middle school, we're longing for high school. When we're high school, we can't wait to get out of high school and get into college or the service or work, whatever it is. Then we get into the working world, we can't wait to retire. And then we retire, we can't wait to get on with things and maybe enjoy a little bit of life before it's over. And that's just the way that we are. We're always longing for something next, something better, especially when things are bad. And that's the way it was for Israel. For hundreds of years, Israel had longed for stability. They had longed for freedom from their occupiers. And once again, when Matthew was written, they were under foreign domination, and so they had to follow not their laws so much as the Romans' laws, which would supersede theirs, and they were always in charge. And they had to pay taxes not to Washington, D.C., not to Jerusalem, but their taxes went to Rome, thank you very much. And so they thought, you know, if we could just get rid of these Romans, then everything would be well. And here in the last quarter of Matthew's gospel, with the last week of Christ, their king is publicly unveiled. And we are always hoping for something better. But sometimes our hopes are dashed. It seems often our hopes are dashed. Even when wonderful things happen to us, we're always hoping and longing for something more. But on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the King who has come, and the one who satisfies and meets our longings no matter what comes our way. And so we celebrate him this morning as the one who is our peace and the one who is our deliverer. He is our peace. Jesus sends a couple of disciples on ahead on an errand that we have just celebrated here a few minutes ago. Sent them on an errand. They're getting toward the Mount of Olives, which was a big hill outside of Jerusalem. They've been walking all day. They're tired out from being on their feet for hours and hours and hours. And Jesus said, okay, guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into the village that's opposite of where we are, probably Bethany. And when you get there, you're going to find, only Matthew says it here, a couple of donkeys. You're going to find a mama donkey and you're going to find a baby donkey. And I want you to untie them and bring them to me. It's interesting, Matthew's the only one that mentions these two animals, but it makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because it was a mama donkey that would keep a baby donkey who had never been ridden in line, emphasizing that this was indeed a gentle, unbroken colt that Jesus was going to ride. And he says, now, if somebody asks you what you're doing, well, then just say that the Lord needs them, and right away, that person will give their okay. Now, the plan seems designed to fulfill the promises of Zechariah. There was this recurring pattern in the life of Israel. So the nation would advance, would move ahead, but then they would never get to where they wanted to be. And then there were some frustrations, and now there were frustrations all over again as Rome had taken over as the reigning superpower of the day. And Matthew says, here's what was going on. The words of the prophet Zechariah were being fulfilled. Where Zechariah said, say to the daughter of Zion, that city that the psalmist called the city of the great king, say to the daughter of that city, to those who are living there now, that your king comes to you. But he's not on a stallion, he's gentle. He's not on a battle horse. This is an unbroken animal. He's riding on a donkey, on a colt, notice the foal of a donkey. See your king. He's coming to you. He's coming to you, city of the great king. He's coming quietly, but he's coming surely, and he's more in charge than you think that he is. Often we get to the place where we're so frustrated that we want to quit. We get apathetic and just say, forget it. You know, there's a whole generation that they call the whatever generation. And so, you know, they're kind of frustrated with everything going around. Their parents are frustrated too. And they're frustrated trying to make ends meet in an economy that never seems to go their way. Frustrated trying to get ahead in a world that keeps pushing against them and fighting the battles of the kingdom in a world that isn't so sure that it wants to let them move ahead. And so it is with all of us. Sometimes we just want to say, oh, just forget it. Oh, just whatever. I don't care anymore. Because it's so easy to feel like we've lost control. It happens to us personally. It happens to us physically. It happens to us in ministry. It happens to us in the world around us. Sometimes we're just ready to hang things up. But Jesus cares more about our frustrations than we do. Jesus longs for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us to pray for that, and we know that he's praying in heaven for us and for his kingdom to move ahead. But Jesus comes to us in his way, not in our way. We wish he would come to us like on in a fighter jet and just kind of sweep in and make everything right, to defeat our enemies, to defeat our frustrations, to straighten everything out. But, you know, sometimes there are those who are really in charge, don't really have to say anything. They just come. And when they show up, then they are showing who is really in charge. You see, Jesus' greatest glory, Paul says, was his humility. And so Jesus came as a baby in a manger. He came to poor parents from a small town. He reached out to children and to those who were in need. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And then he rode into a town on, not a stallion, but on a donkey. And an unbroken donkey. Reminds us of what the prophet said, that the servant would not shout. He wouldn't cry out. He wouldn't raise his voice in the streets. He wouldn't even break a bruised reed in a field. He wouldn't snuff out a smoldering wick. But his goal, this one who would come quietly, would be to lead justice to victory. He would be the one in whom the nations would put their hope. That same prophet, Zechariah, said he would come not by might. He would come not by power, but by his spirit. He wouldn't look like he was in charge, but he would quietly be in charge behind the scenes and be moving his plan ahead in ways that no one would expect. And Jesus comes to us in our problems. He doesn't take our challenges away from us. We would like him to take them away, but instead he expresses his power to us by coming to us in our problems. So, see, our King of Peace comes to us as we humble ourselves before him like children. It's so interesting that he came to children at Palm Sunday. He invited children to him. He asks us to humble ourselves like him, to trust in him alone for his forgiveness, and to follow his lead in our lives. And then after we know him, then to practice his presence, to look to him, to look for him in our everyday lives. And then to put our minds on him, not our problems, but on him, by talking to him in prayer, by spending time in his book, and by spending time with others who know and love him, so that we remind each other that he is present with us, that he has come to save us. And then by reviewing what he has done, the psalmist time and time again would go back and they would recall what the Lord had done for them. And he calls us to do that by going back into the scriptures, by remembering things as we remembered his first coming this morning, but then also looking back into our lives and reviewing what he has done for us already as an encouragement that he will be with us in the future as he has been with us and with his people in the past. But then looking for his gentle and unexpected presence. We want that fighter jet to appear. But sometimes he's with us in quiet ways, in unexpected ways. And so he calls for us to look for those ways that he's at work among us as we practice his presence in the everyday things of life, as he was with God's people in the everyday days of Palestine. And then to place our hope in the plan to come, because he will come back and he will make things right. And he calls for us to look for his appearing in the sky. We long for peace. We long for our King to come and to bring us peace. And that will indeed come, because in addition to being our peace, he is also our deliverer. And so the disciples follow Jesus' instructions exactly. They do exactly what he tells them to do in verses 6 to 11. They bring him a donkey. They bring him the baby donkey and the mama donkey, and they take their cloaks and they lay them on the baby donkey for Jesus to sit on. And there's a really large crowd that is gathered, a huge crowd that has come. And they react as if their conquering general has come. Because this reminds them of stories from their past, when King David was getting ready to pass the throne on to Solomon. And there was some controversy in his day as to who was going to be king. Someone else that was trying to take over. David said, "Hey, bring out the donkey." And they set Solomon on the donkey, and he rode through town, and everybody knew who the king was. The crown was going from David to Solomon. And so the crown was coming to this one who was passing through town, and everybody spread their garments on the road. It was like a red carpet that was spreading his way, something that had also been done in Jewish history when kings were proclaimed. But then there were others who took the palm branches, as our kids did a few minutes ago, and they spread the palm branches on the road. The palm branches were a national symbol. If you were to take out their coins, you would have seen the palm branches on that coin. It's kind of like we got American eagles on our coins. You wouldn't put eagles on a road, I don't think. Maybe eagle feathers. But they had palm branches. They took them, they put them on the road. It was a national symbol. It's sort of like on 4th of July. We get our flags and we're standing by the side of the road. We're waving as the parade goes by. And that's what it was for them. They took those palm branches. They were lauding him as a national hero. And the whole city is stirred up. They're coming down from Jerusalem. They've heard that there's some excitement. There's something going on, that their leader has arrived. They're coming down from the city. And those from behind him, where he had raised Lazarus from the dead and done other miracles for 3 years, they're coming down behind him. They're all gathering in front of him and behind him. And they're shouting the psalmist's cry for help. Hosanna, which means save now. Save us now, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You're coming in the name of the Lord, and we bless you. Hosanna, save now. Where in the highest heaven, you're doing something. Praise this one who is to come. Save us now, heaven of heaven above. And Jesus, for the first time, welcomes their cheers and their accolades. He is proclaiming, he is saying, "Yes, I have come. And this is the plan of heaven. And this is why I have come." But he's come not just for the short term, but for the long term. And the crowds, it almost is an afterthought here. In verse 11, they say, "This is a prophet." Oh yeah, it's a prophet, but not they're not saying it's the prophet. Oh yeah, this is Jesus. This is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the prophet from Galilee, from Nazareth, from that little town that made a stir out there. But they're not saying, no, this is the prophet that was to come. This is not the one who was proclaimed. This is not the Messiah who was predicted. This is not the liberator that was promised to come and to set us free forever and ever. This is not the one who was worthy of praise, not just on earth, but also in the highest heavens, the one who would come to deliver all who would trust in him. You see, Jesus gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. That's how Paul put it in the book of Galatians. He came to deliver us from that world. And just like Israel, we want him to deliver us now, to save us now from our struggles physically, emotionally, family-wise, to save us from the challenges that we face as a church, the challenges that we face internationally and locally and nationally. But instead, he comes and he delivers us within life's challenges as we follow his model of submitting to him and to his Father in heaven. Last week, we talked about Stephen Hawking, that probably one of the brightest men that ever lived, that died a quadriplegic, but was an atheist. I was talking to someone after the service, and just how sad that was. And I thought of another quadriplegic, although someone that could at least talk, named Johnny Erickson Tata, that some of us have heard of for many years. Now I think actually you'd probably call her a senior citizen, but she's still in her wheelchair. And you think of the difference in her demeanor as compared to Stephen Hawking's demeanor. Now she had an accident as a teenager where she was paralyzed from the neck down. Terrible, terrible tragedy. Something that no one would ever want to experience. But Johnny Erickson went on from that accident and decided and trusted the Lord in it, and she began to sing. She began to draw with her teeth. I don't know how anybody draws with their hands. She painted beautiful things with her teeth. She started an organization that would help others like her and is spread throughout all of the world. And she's a woman in a terrible, tragic situation, but with great joy, and has spread that joy to people even in our church and throughout the world because of her relationship with the Lord and because she has given in to the Lord and has trusted him in that situation. Her whole demeanor is different than Stephen Hawking's, as tragic as that is, because she has welcomed the King within her situation to deliver her as she waits for that day when she sees him face to face. And she said, you know what? When I see Jesus, I got some big questions for him. I'm going to ask him, why did you put me through this? How come I couldn't walk and talk? I mean, I could talk. How come I couldn't walk and move my arms for a whole lifetime from the time I was, I think, 17 years old? But then she says, when I see him, though, I know it's going to be worth it. When I see him, I'm just going to shut up because I know it'll all be worth it when I see my Lord. Johnny Erickson Tata, by God's grace, has been delivered within her challenges. Challenges probably greater than any of us would ever face. And she's known the victory of Christ and of her Savior, who has saved her within those circumstances. And that's the way that it is as we look to the Lord. One of the books that's challenged me over the last few years is a kind of a spiritual classic. I think it's from the 50s, called Hinds Feet in High Places. Has anybody read that? It's been around for a while. You don't hear about it too much anymore, but ran across an old copy. It's an allegory, kind of like Pilgrim's Progress. This one's about a woman, and she's on a journey up a hill, you know, kind of like in Pilgrim's Progress. She's on it, and then she meets all of these characters whose names have spiritual meanings. And the basis of that book is from Psalm 18, which says, it's God who arms me with strength, makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He makes me stand on the heights. And so what the story is, she goes up and up and up the hill, and then finally once she gets to the top of the hill, facing all these challenges, then she sprouts hind feet. And she can dance. She can get to the top and dance around on the top of the hill like a deer. And she meets all of these, and the Lord strengthens her and helps her to grow and to face the challenges that she encounters. And there are a couple of characters that she met that spoke to, that have spoken to me, and I put on my regular prayer list. One of the characters she met was acceptance with joy. And she was saying that the Lord was helping her to accept with joy what God has sent her way. Even the greatest challenges of life. And on my things that I pray for regularly, I say, Lord, help me to have an acceptance with joy of all that you have sent my way. Another person that she met was called Bearing in Love. And so the Lord was saying to her, that he would help her to bear in love with others that came, other people that maybe were not as easy to bear in love as she would like them to be. But the Lord had taught her, apparently in her experience, that as the Lord had bared with her in love, that he wanted her to learn to bear with others in love. And so on a regular basis, almost a daily, these are two things on my prayer list. Pray, Lord, help me to bear in love with others because you have borne in love for me. So acceptance with joy and bearing in love. And what she was saying in this hind feet height was the Lord was helping her to dance on the heights, that he was with her in life. He was delivering her in life as she walked up the hill with him and knew victory in life, even in the greatest challenges of life, so that she get on with Christ, that she could dance on the heights, being delivered by the Lord, not just in the future, but now in this life. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us here. He doesn't promise to remove us from the challenges of life. Not now. Oh, how we would love for him to do that. But he does promise to be with us and to deliver us within the challenges of life. Whatever he, in his sovereignty as the king, has sent our way. You see, the thing about Palm Sunday is we see as the disciples, they carried out the plan of Christ. Palm Sunday is part of the plan. As they carried out his plan, as one thing led to another, Palm Sunday, we know, they didn't know, but we know, because we've read the rest of Matthew's gospel, Palm Sunday leads to Good Friday. And Good Friday, when Jesus gave his life on the cross, leads to the resurrection. And then the resurrection leads to the ascension, when Jesus went up to heaven. And that means that Jesus is at the Father's right hand, praying for us and delivering us now with his presence in our lives, with the promise that the final chapter is yet to be, that one day that he will deliver us completely. And he is with us in all of the in-betweens. He points to his hands and feet at Palm Sunday. And he says, you know what these scars are about. I have delivered you. So just wait a bit. This means that the best is yet to come. He points to the empty grave and he says, I've been raised and you will be raised too. Just wait a bit longer. Because my power, the power that raised me from the grave, is available to you and is there to empower you as you move through life. And he points to the sheepfold. And he says, all those sheep out there in that fold, those are mine. But there's some empty pens. And there's some more that I want to draw in. Maybe some that are here this morning that he wants to draw in. Maybe some that he wants to bring next Sunday. Maybe some that he wants us to invite, or that others will invite, that he wants to draw into his fold, into his sheep pen, from some from our area, some from around the world, some from in between, some from this period of time, many from other periods of time, maybe others from perhaps future periods of time, until he comes back to make everything right. And in the meantime, Jesus empowers us by his Spirit to face the challenges of life just like he did when he was here, because we follow him. You know, I heard there was an arrest warrant put out by the sheriff in Punxsutawney this week. Punxsutawney Phil is in trouble. He said that Punxsutawney Phil is a clear deceiver. Because 6 weeks ago, he saw his shadow. And he said, spring is coming. And we know what happened this week. Well, Punxsutawney Phil is, he's right. A fair amount of the time. But not all the time. But Jesus is right 100% of the time. No arrest warrant will ever go out for our Lord, because he has enacted his plan. And on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the fact that he came. He came. And he rode quietly through that city. And then he continued on. And without them knowing what was coming, he gave his life for our sins. And he rose from the grave. And he's now in heaven. And we know that he's coming back. And we can be 100% sure that there is no lie in that. Palm Sunday shows us that the King of our longings has come. And he is on his throne. And he is coming back. So let's proclaim the King of peace, the King of our deliverance. And let's put our hope in him for his sure return. Bow your heads with me in prayer. This morning, maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe he's speaking to you about putting your faith in him for the first time. Maybe he's speaking to you about putting your faith in him for the first time in a long time. Maybe he's speaking to you about bowing beneath him and his plan and trusting in him and asking for his strength to help you to dance on the heights. Speak to him. Speak to him. He's here. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we long to see you. How grateful we are, Lord, that you have been with us this morning. That you speak to us, Lord, in each and all of our situations. That you're leading your people here and around the world. And so, Lord Jesus, we exalt you and we praise you as our King. Lord, we confess to you that it's so hard for us, Lord, sometimes to just live in your presence. Lord, sometimes we just want to grab control for ourselves, and Lord, we get frustrated because it doesn't go very well. Lord Jesus, would you take control? Lord, would you continue your ride through our lives? And Lord, may we follow your gentle ways and trust in you. And Lord, would you empower us to know you and to share you with others. It's in the name of Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that we pray.